Books, and we find ourselves in Jude now, and we've been in here for quite some time too, and we're about to wrap up this book, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 25 this afternoon. This is kind of the closing section to the book, and we're not going to get all the way through all that's in here today, but this is the start of this last section. And the Bible says here, in beginning in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Now, last week, we looked at verse 19, and that was verses 17 through 19, I believe it was. And that was the turning point of the book of Jude here, where Jude turns his direction, changes his direction from dealing with apostates and those who were false teachers, those who were departing from the faith. He's exposing who they are, and he's giving full attention to that. And then he gets to verse 17, and he changes his attention and his direction back toward the saints of God in verse 17. And so here again, he's continuing on as with his focus to the believers. And this last section that Jude begins with here is meant for exhortations. It's meant for consolation to the believers. And it's meant to direct their focus toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the realization of the hope that they have in Christ. And so we're going to look at this, at verse 20, and just we're going to zero in on one phrase for today. But the title of this section, if you will, is Exhortations and Consolations for Believers, but the title of the message is Building Up Yourselves. Building Up Yourselves. In these exhortations that Jude gives, there we need to understand, first of all, that there's an element of personal responsibility here. Because Jude says, beloved, building up yourselves. Verse 21, he says, keep yourselves. And so we have to understand that there's an element of personal responsibility here. And we're going to, like I said, going to focus in on the phrases that are found in these verses. And today specifically, we're just going to look at this first one, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin. Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding of your word. And Father, exhort us and encourage us as saints of God, Father, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to see our need, and Father, help us to see our own personal responsibility here, and give us understanding of what these things mean, that we might apply them to our daily living. Father, I pray that you'd have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jude, we could say this is true of basically the whole thrust, the whole purpose of writing. I think it's safe to say that Jude wants more than anything else a very strong church. He starts that way back in verse 3. Go back over there. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So here Jude is saying, it's my purpose, it was my intention to write about salvation, but it was needful to write unto you to exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is under attack. It needs to be fought for in your own life. And then he goes on in verses 4 through 16 to start to describe these apostates, those who have crept in unawares, who would do damage to the church, revealing what kind of character they have, who they are, that sort of thing, to give the church discernment as to have an understanding of what's at stake here. And so, what's the reason for that warning? What's the reason for that exhortation? So that they would have a discerning spirit, that they would grow in maturity, that they would be a strong church. And he gets to these verses here, and he says, "But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." It's no secret that Jude wants a very strong, mature body. And so he gives that exhortation, then he gives the warning of the apostates who would destroy the church, and now he's seeking to exhort them in growth and maturity. And the thought should be, listen, should we not want the same exact thing right here for the body of Christ? Should we not have it as a desire of the heart to have a strong, stable, mature church? That should be our desire, to have a strong, stable church. Anytime a church turns away from the faith once delivered unto the saints, that church has gone down in flames, possibly to never return. It's important. So Jude says it's needful that you contend. I exhort you to contend, to fight for the faith. In these closing remarks that Jude gives, he uses some action words. Some action words that are to encourage the local church. And that's exactly what a church is to be, a people, a church of action. God's people are not to be stagnant, but people of action. People that are busy, people that are strong, people that are stable, people that are exercised. And so Jude gives some action words here to encourage the local church. I want us to see three key thoughts here before we actually get into the message. We're going to look at these words that are used and identify the terms so we have a foundation, a base understanding of what he's talking about here. So look at these words here. First of all, Jude says, but ye beloved, building up. Building up is how he starts. This word building is a Greek word that means increasing or gaining, okay? But it means to be gaining on a foundation that's already laid. So this word that is used has the connotation, or it carries with it the idea of gaining in strength or building through exercise and through experience. So it's sort of like a weightlifter who is continually gaining and building in strength because of exercise. And so, in other words, what the idea that he's talking about here is there needs to be a continual growth and step-by-step building on a foundation that is previously laid, and not a decline and then a rise and then a decline and then a rise, not this up and down or continuing to cover the same ground over and over again, because that is not growth at all. That's spinning your wheels. He says, beloved, you need to be building up yourselves, gaining in strength, increasing on a foundation that has already been laid, not losing ground and having to cover the same ground over again. All right, so understand this. Now he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. All right, here's the foundation. We talked about what this word faith means in the beginning of this series through the book of Jude. It's a Greek word that means truth itself. All right, so here he says to be gaining, to be increasing, to be building on truth itself. He's getting back to exactly where he started at the beginning of this epistle. Go back to verse 3 again. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. That's the same exact word, and it means for truth, for the truth itself, which was once delivered unto the saints. He says, you need to be fighting for truth. Then, not only that, you need to be building on the truth. Now, when it comes to a building something, let's talk about a house, for example. You cannot properly build if you do not have the right foundation. Amen? And this is exactly what Jude is saying. You need to be building and increasing and growing, but you cannot build if you don't have the right foundation. The foundation has to be truth itself. You need to fight for it in your own life because it's under attack. The world, the devil, the flesh, all of those things want to eradicate truth in your life. If you do not fight for it, you'll lose it. But you can't build if you haven't maintained or kept truth itself. You can't build without the right foundation. But then he says they're building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Yourselves. That includes individual responsibility, but Jude is actually talking more of a group effort here. Now, we have a responsibility, yea, even an obligation to individually build in our own life. But this process that Jude is talking about here is a group effort. He says, beloved, I'm speaking to all of you. He's talking about in a church context here with the idea of a strong church, a mature church. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Even though we have that personal responsibility and obligation, this is a group effort. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Here, and we'll look at some other scriptures here in just a second, but this is a common theme in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul in writing to churches. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, you need to comfort yourselves together and edify one another in the things of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with this idea of building and increasing. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The church is to be built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see the group effort that's needed here to consider one another, to provoke one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to edify one another. Jude says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. So we are to be building, number one, but we're to be building together, and we're to be building on truth itself. It is not God's will for us to remain the same. Let me say it again. It's not God's will for us to remain the same. God wants us to be growing. He wants us to be increasing. He wants us to be stabilizing and maturing in our own individual life and as a church. Now look with me at verse 22. Go back to Jude there, our text, and look at verse 22. God wants us to be growing. He wants us to be growing spiritually in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also wants us to be growing physically. Verse 22, he says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Here he's talking about having a passion for people and a passion for souls, having compassion on them, pulling them out of the fire, making a difference. Now we compare this thought with Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, which is the commission that Christ gave to his church. And he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? But then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Listen, that baptizing and that discipling is done in the context of the church. So what I'm saying is, a natural result of being obedient to the command of Christ will be physical growth. People will be saved. We will baptize them, which adds them to the membership of the church, and they will be discipled and grown spiritually themselves. And so it's not God's will for us to stay the same. He wants us to grow spiritually. He also wants us to grow physically. The physical growth will be a natural result of our obedience to the commands of Christ. It's clear that the Lord wants us to be growing and not staying the same. And that's what Jude is saying to these folks. Beloved, build up yourselves. Increase, grow on your most holy faith. We're going to look at three things in the message here this afternoon. Quickly, I'll go through these, but we're going to be looking at the superiority of the building. We're going to look at the materials of the building, and then we're going to see the benefits of building. First of all, consider with me the superiority of building. He says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do you have a superior product in building? Superior building always begins with having the right kind of foundation. You compare some of the houses that you see in Alaska, the old-time houses in Alaska, and you see that they're sagging on this side, and there's a big old sway in the roof line, and things are torn down and this and that, and you know that there's an issue with the foundation when a house is starting to sag. But you look at one that is solid and firm, and it's lasted for years and for years and for years, and you can know that they've got the right foundation. They've got a solid foundation. Superior building begins with having the right foundation. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's keep this in mind when it comes to the fact that God wants us as a church to be growing. Ephesians 2, verse 20, shows us two things about the foundation. Verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The first thing about having a superior foundation is having Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is what a church needs to be built on. Jesus Christ is what an individual life needs to be built on. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Here these lively stones need to be built on that precious cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A church is not built on tradition. A church is not built upon the commandments of men. A church is not built on policy or on traditions that have been passed down from year to year to year. A church is built upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. If that is not the cornerstone, if he is not the primary goal to be exalted and to be lifted up and to be pointed to, it's the wrong foundation. Ephesians 2:20 also says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Here's the second thing about the foundation. The foundation has to be the Word of God. The apostles and the prophets that we read about in Ephesians 2 is the Word of God. Are the apostles living today? No, they're not. Are prophets living today? No, but we have in the scriptures the apostles and the prophets, the words of God. A church is not built on tradition, but it's built on the truth of the word of God. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 20. Anything else is the wrong foundation. This is what gives the superior building. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul's writing, or he's talking to these elders of the church at Ephesus. He's called them all together, and he's giving his final farewell to them. And he says to these preachers in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Here he says, I'm commending you. I'm not going to be around, but I'm going to commend you to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. Listen, my friend, child of God, you know this to be true. You say you believe this. I say I believe it. But again, we got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The word of God is what gives you the right foundation for life. You depart from the principles of the word of God, or you leave off principles of the word of God, and you will not have the right foundation. You cannot build without the right foundation. If the word of God teaches something, it is imperative. It is imperative that we obey it. We cannot choose which doctrines we're going to follow and which ones we're not. We cannot choose to say, well, our culture has changed, and so this is not really that important, but we hold to the scriptures. We can't do that. If it's a Bible doctrine, we are commanded to obey it. We're not going to have the right kind of building. The life is not going to be enriched, and the life is not going to be what it should be. The church is not going to be strong and stable and mature without the foundation of the Word of God, Jesus Christ and His Word. That's what makes building superior. You wonder why things are a mess in churches all across this country? Maybe you travel. And if, as you've traveled, you've gone around the country, you've visited churches here and there, and you go and you sit down and you're like, what's going on here? Well, this is supposed to be an independent fundamental Baptist church. Aren't they all the same? And then you travel to other places and you walk in and you're like, whoa, I feel right at home. Same spirit. Same kind of preaching, the hand of God, the blessing of God. Listen, there's just something special about them. Why? What is it? No doubt they have made a determination amongst themselves that they are going to be obedient to the Word of God. They're not going to pick and choose which doctrines they're going to believe and follow. They're not going to pick and choose what's more convenient for them so they can live comfortably. No, they're going to conform themselves to the Word of God. It makes them superior in the building. Are we better than others? No, that's not what I'm saying. The foundation is Christ. The foundation is His Word. The natural result of being obedient to that produces superior building. The Word of God is able to build you up. The Word of God is able to build you individually. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctification, being set apart, being conformed into the image of Christ, it happens and it comes through the obedience of God's word, the truth of God's word. Look at John 15. John 15 and verse 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean through the word of God. What does Psalm 119:9 say? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. What does verse 11 say? The word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It helps me avoid the pitfalls. It helps me avoid the stumbling blocks. I can see clearly when I follow the light of the word of God. It's able to build you. It's able to cleanse you. It's able to strengthen you individually. And listen, why would we not want this? Having the Word of God as our foundation, having the Word of God building us up, it benefits all areas of life. Did you know that? You are a better employee on your job if you are obedient to the Word of God. You have the right respect for authority. You have work ethic. You have character to you because it's right to do. And you do your best at your job, the best that you can, because it's right to do. You do the hard things because it's right to do, even when you don't want to do it or you don't feel like it, because it's right to do. The Word of God builds character. It makes you a better employee on your job. It makes you a better husband. It makes you a better wife. The Word of God is able to build you. It improves your finances when you're obedient to the commands of Scripture. Instead of struggling week after week from paycheck to paycheck, living in disobedience to the Lord, I'm going to commit to being obedient to God. I'm going to give of what He's given to me. I'm going to give above and beyond the tithes. I'm going to give to missions. I cannot outgive God. I'm going to give. And the Lord blesses. The Bible says that He rebukes the devourer for your sake. All of a sudden, you don't have the car problems all the time and the roof problems and this and that. Every month seems like something is coming up and it's just eating up every last dime you have. How come I can't get ahead? I'm getting deeper and deeper in debt. Well, are you being obedient to the commands of Scripture? The Word of God builds us. And it improves every area of life. All of a sudden, I don't have holes in my pockets, leaving coins and cash behind me everywhere I go. Because the Lord rebukes the devourer for my sake. It improves every area of life. We need the Word of God as the foundation. Amen? I read of old-time preachers who would train young preachers in their school, in their Bible institute, and their rule was, their motto was, no Bible, no breakfast. I wonder how many saints of God would lose weight under that structure. We need the Word of God in our daily life to build us, to grow us. It not only will build you individually, but it'll build your family. You look across this country, you look in Baptist churches today, you see families that are just a wreck all over the place. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. But the reason they are there is because they have not put in the right foundation in their life. The Word of God will build your family. The Word of God teaches dad how to be dad and how to live. Ephesians chapter 5, we find instruction in the Word of God that teaches dad how to love his wife, how to be a husband. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You are to model your life, your love life with your wife after Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. That is how, dad, how husband, you're supposed to model your love life with your wife. Not how she's going to please me and how she's going to fulfill me, but how can I please her and love her and give myself as a servant to her. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here is clear instruction. The word of God will build your family. Dad, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How in the world does that apply? What does it mean? What provokes our children to wrath? Listen, Dad, an uncontrolled temperament on the part of Dad provokes the children to wrath. One moment Dad is calm, one moment Dad responds a certain way, the next moment, the next time something happens, Dad blows up and spews all over everything in the house. An uncontrolled temperament shows inconsistency on the part of a father, which provokes the child to wrath. The Word of God will build us as a family because it gives us instruction on how we are to relate to each other. Listen, inconsistency on the part of a mom and a dad, all the kids see is hypocrisy, and it'll drive them away. We need the Word of God. Are any of us perfect parents? No. I'll be the first to admit that. Are any of us perfect husbands? We'd like to think we are, but fat chance of that, buddy. But I want to do a good job. I want to be the best that I can be. I need God's word to build me. God's word will build your family. Mom teaches you how to be mom. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your... Oh, that's a dirty word. Submit yourselves unto your husbands. As unto who? As unto the Lord. The word of God gives instruction. Proverbs chapter 31, on what it means to be a virtuous woman that is pleasing to the Lord. The Word of God gives and shows us and reveals to us God's purpose and God's plan. Look in Titus chapter 2. Man, it's quiet in here. Titus chapter 2, it's either you're really asleep or something, I don't know. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here we find instruction from the word of God as to what our role and what our purpose is. How many ladies abandon their God-given role in pursuit of something that they've built up in their mind as a thing that's going to bring them fulfillment in their life? Got to pursue after the career. Got to pursue after the job. I'm a career woman. And they pursue after all of these other things that they think they've built up in their mind that is somehow going to bring them fulfillment. And all they do is long to be at home with their kids. Or they work a job full-time just to pay for daycare. They didn't come out ahead. They didn't make, gains in this. All they did was end up paying for childcare. God's role and God's purpose for our lives is revealed in His Word, and we'll never find real fulfillment in a departure from God's ordained plan for our life. Now, is it wrong for a woman to work a job? No, that's not what I'm saying. But you understand, the Word of God builds us, our families. It teaches children what their responsibility is. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So often children are lost to the world, though, because they were never trained to obey. They were never trained to respect authority because their parents didn't do their job. And they didn't build their life on the Word of God. And like I said before, a lot of times all the kids see is just a bunch of hypocrites. And why would I want that? Oh, but when a family is committed to the Word of God and they're implementing its principles in their life, and their children grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They turn into respectful, obedient, productive young people who love God with all of their heart. They love the Lord for themselves. Isn't it funny how the world and even other saints just marvel at children who are well-behaved and children who are respectful at a young age and who are obedient to their parents? It's funny how they just marvel. How do you do that? There was one time, me and my wife were over at the gym, and we had our littlest one in there with us over in the corner, you know, in this little cage for the kids. It's prison. And there's a couple other kids in there, and Jovi was starting to get a little animated. Let's just put it that way. I said, "Jovi, stop it. You need to sit down. You need to be quiet." "Okay, Dad." Sat down. One of the other parents said, "Does that actually work?" Complete amazement. I mean, you can actually tell your child to do something and they obey the first time you tell them to do it? Why is that a marvelous thing? When the Word of God gives us clear instruction on how to train our children and how to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and what will be the result, right? It builds our families. And the world is just marveling. And even other saints of God are just in wonder. How do you do that? You must be something special. No. We just simply are obedient to the principles of God's Word. And God blesses. And God does that work. Because His principles work. But you try to tell the world, "Well, this, how did you get your children to be so obedient and so respectful?" Well, let me share with you some principles. I don't know. We don't believe in spanking. We don't believe in this or we don't believe in that. We use the time out. They want the product, they want the result, but they don't want the process or the principle that makes it work. What I'm saying is God's Word, when we apply it, will build our families. It's the right foundation. Not only that, it'll build the church. The apostles and the prophets, the Word of God. It's got to be the foundation, but it's what makes the building superior. Amen? Consider with me, secondly, the materials of the building. I gotta quit. We're not gonna be able to finish this message this week. We'll have to pick it up again next week. We'll consider the materials of the building. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul addresses building materials. Right building materials versus wrong building materials. Gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and stubble, etc. We got to build with the right material. We have the right material. We'll talk about that, how those materials are the key to a superior product. Gold, silver, precious stones likened unto the doctrine of the Word of God. Good doctrine. Wood, hay, stubble. Likened unto man's thinking and man's tradition. Talked a little bit about it this morning, the polls that are taken. You know, what do you want to have in a ministry? Those are not good materials to build on. And we'll also talk about the benefits of building. What is it going to produce and what is the end result? We don't have time to do that now, so we'll pick this up again next week. All right? But make your life built on the foundation of the Word of God. Apply it. Apply it. Apply it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Lord, I know that this group of people desires to please you as a whole and wants to be obedient to the word of God. Father, we need encouragement and continual reminders. And we need to continually come face to face with the mirror of God's Word so that we can see who we really are and then look into the perfect law of liberty to find out what you want us to be. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us your grace to continually be building up ourselves on the most holy faith, that we'd be growing and gaining and maturing, being solidified and established in the faith. Lord, so that you might be able to use us in a greater way to bring glory to the Lord. Father, so that you might use us in a greater way to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow us up in you. Strengthen us. Help us to strengthen one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.